Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Rob. You're on QR Calgary and More Than Money. You know, Rob, we get a lot of questions often when we're working in the legacy bucket with clients about trusts. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot of confusion about what they are. So I think we need to help people understand what they are. And then more importantly, why would somebody use a trust, right? Where does it fit? What's it designed to do? What's it, you know, supposed to accomplish within a total wealth plan for a client or for a family? And to help us understand that, we've got a terrific guest for two segments today. The first one will be trust, Catherine Zhang, who is a partner at Walsh LLP and a regular recurring guest of the show. Catherine, thanks for joining us today.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks, Dave.
Okay, so you heard a little bit about that setup. I think I'm just going to throw it to you right away, Catherine, because we get a lot of questions about trust. People hear the word trust. There's kind of a general understanding. Everybody thinks it's some special magic tool. Maybe let's just start with telling us what a trust is and the different, you know, generally the different types of trusts there are.
Yeah, well, that's a great question. I think the misconception about trusts is that there's only usually one type, and that's the biggest misconception. There's a lot of different types of trusts. So you can have a testamentary trust, which is a trust that gets set up in a will. You can have an inter vivos trust, which is a trust that somebody sets up during their lifetime. And the intention is that they transfer assets from their own personal bucket into a new entity called a trust. But then there are less complex types of trusts, and those are bear trusts, where you hold something on behalf of somebody, but there's no real legal transference or beneficial transference of entitlements. You're just holding it in trust in name only. So those are, from a rough perspective, a broad, you know, explanation of some of the different types of trusts that there are.
So I think that's a good explanation, Rob. You know, it raises the point, I suppose, that we think of a trust as some one thing, right? Mm-hmm. Well, no, it can be a legal entity, it can be a non-legal entity, you know, and it can, you know, be before, you know, while you're alive, after death, all these kinds of things. So it's a much more complex tool, yeah, right, than I think most people just think about when they hear the word trust.
Yeah. I think it's an interesting question too. And I might phrase this back to Catherine, because one of the conversations we have with clients is, well, the first question we get is, well, why can't we just use a trust?
Right.
Like when is it actually beneficial?
Right.
Or how much money do I need to set one up?
Right.
And I know there's a lot of complexity on what kinds of trusts, but maybe you can go through your approach when talking with the client family.
That's a fantastic question, Rob. Actually, I usually throw it back to the client when they ask me, hey, can I just set up a trust? This is what I've been told I should do by my friends and family. And my first question is always, well, what is your primary objective? Because depending on what your primary objective is, a trust may not be the right vehicle. If we're talking about protection of assets, then often there's something there, because in a trust document, you're able to very specifically outline, you know, what conditions money can be taken out, income or capital, who can be entitled to that money, and gift over provisions if one of the beneficiaries listed has passed away. A lot of times people come back, though, and they say, well, actually, it's for tax purposes. I'd like to minimize my tax exposure. I have certain assets that I want to transfer over, et cetera, et cetera. And depending on the province that you're in, sometimes a trust is a viable way to approach that, or is a viable solution. Particularly here in Alberta, a lot of people are concerned about the transfer of assets on death. But here in Alberta, we've got right now a really good probate structure, where the cost of applying for a probate, or the cost that you're going to encounter in the court, is not based on a percentage. So often when we raise that with clients, they say, oh, well, I didn't realize that. You know, if there's a way for me then to transfer assets without being penalized or being charged on a percentage basis, and I'm able to outline what my wishes are in a will, maybe I'm okay. But if we're dealing with, you know, spouses from a second marriage, or we're dealing with dependent adult children, or we're dealing with very specific distribution of particular assets through multiple generations, maybe in those instances, trusts are something that those clients can and should consider.
So, Catherine, there's a difference between setting a trust up in your lifetime and setting one up, you know, upon passing, your passing or second passing of your spouse. And there's different approaches for this. Maybe that's because we're going to talk a little bit about executors in just a minute after the break. But tell us a little about this use of a testamentary trust, you know, a trust that you establish in your will. I often get asked questions, you know, is there a cost to set up a testamentary trust? And, you know, when is it in effect? How does it work? When would I consider putting a trust in my will?
Those are great questions. So the first answer is the trust gets set up in your will. There's no other documentation that you need. So when you meet up with a lawyer to draft your will and you say, hey, on my death, I want to give this gift on certain conditions, we're talking about testamentary trusts. And so the only discussion about added cost is the complexity of those instructions. A lot of the times for really straightforward trust, hey, if my children are under a certain age, I don't want them to get access to the funds. I want them only to get access when, you know, they're 25, or I only want them to get access in stages. Those are pretty straightforward. And typically at Walsh, they're not added costs to that type of trust. But if we're doing something specific, you have a dependent adult and we need a discretionary Henson trust, for example, to take into consideration other aspects that this adult is going through, that might incur an additional cost. But there's nothing that is required after your passing to fully constitute that document. It's already baked into the will.
And then if somebody's, well, let me ask you this question in just in general terms. And I think it's important that, we speak often about an Alberta case. The provincial laws are all very different with respect to these things. So depending on what province you're in, make sure you're getting the proper legal advice if you're thinking of setting these things up. What percentage, like if you were to take a guess, what percentage of people that you do will and estate planning for really have a need for trust aside from minor children?
Ooh, that's a great question. Well, let me put it this way. I would say a significant amount of my wills will contain a trust in some form or other. If you're not dealing with minor children, we've often got couples who are coming in or individuals who are coming in who are then grandparents. And so they're saying, if my child doesn't receive their share of the estate, but they've got kids, then their share is going down to their grandkids. And so it's a simple, okay, well, if that grandchild is entitled to something, they're not able to receive it until they're 21 or 25, for example. So in that respect, I would say a significant portion of the wills that I do will have a trust in some form of or another, but certainly it's not a requirement, particularly if you don't have minor kids that you're caring for and you're okay with your asset being distributed to a beneficiary and then them having full and complete control of that asset on your passing.
Yeah, I think that's important. And I think most people, I asked that question because I thought the answer would be, there'd be lots. Certainly if you put in, you know, minor children, it's actually a pretty common planning tool for most families. When you get into some of the other complexities, I think it gets a little bit more selective and a little bit rarer to use it. But they're really flexible tools. And I think the important piece is if anything in this segment has caught your attention, then go speak with your, you know, the person that you work with on your wills and estates and to make sure that a trust, you know, is appropriate or not appropriate in your given circumstances. Right. And so, Catherine, thank you again on a pretty complicated topic. I think you do a fantastic job of making it understandable for guys like us.
It's a pleasure to speak with you always.
Okay, Rob, we've got an upcoming seminar
We do. Join us for our next seminar coming up. We'll be talking about all these topics here in Calgary, Tuesday, March 5th. That will be at the Carriage House Inn. Alternatively, we will all be in person in Lethbridge at the Sandman Signature Hotel on Tuesday, March 19th. Sign up online for those.
Stick around after the break also, because Catherine's going to continue a conversation on how to remove an executor if that person is not the person that you think should be in charge. You're on QR Calgary and More Than Money.